We're doing a month together on presence, on being present to ourselves, being present to God, and being present to each other. And we've spent the last 3 weeks as a church, both when we were gathering at the Senior Center and now online, going through like guided prayer meditations, guided prayer experience, and the verses that we've been focusing on primarily actually just kind of 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "For God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And before we jump into what we're talking about this week, about being present to each other is what we're going to talk about. I think it's really important just to address for a moment and kind of recognize the reality of where we're at, what we're all entered into and what we're going through. There, like, things have jumped up here in the last week a lot. Things have really escalated seemingly like by the day. It's been 10 days now since we've been in this space, and things have ramped up quite dramatically. A series of executive orders in the country and in our own state, to the point that we're now in a shelter in place at home, closure of all non-essential business and travel and sort of anything outside of our houses. And we're all adjusting to this new life that we're living together, which is obviously temporary, but quite new, and we're trying to figure out new rhythms and working from home, and things like are like ramped up. And if you have kids, you have homeschool. If you have roommates, you're all trying to figure out how to be together in the house and work together. If you live alone, you're in the opposite end of that, where you're figuring out how to live in more of an isolated kind of state. It's like cabin fever wherever you're at. There's big hits that we're experiencing with jobs, our business owners. A lot of us are experiencing a lot of unknown. It's scary. And then there's just the virus and the sickness itself that is scary as well. And we have these ongoing reports daily. And I just share all that to say, man, I recognize where you're at, and we're all in it together. And we're just not in control, which is an obvious, but perhaps maybe not. That we just have zero control of what's happening out there. And the only thing that we can control is our own inner state and our own ability to respond to what's happening, to what's going on out there. That's it. And what we've been doing as a church, these practices of contemplative prayer and these practices of kind of guided meditation and of being present to yourself and being present to God are absolutely critical now. The breathing prayers, the centering prayers, the entering into God's presence and allowing God to meet you in the deep places, the stuff that our friend Kevin Sweeney in Hawaii had walked us through about finding, facing, feeling, and forgiving and releasing. Man, that stuff is critical right now. And I just encourage you so much to continue in those practices, because that's the one thing that you can do at a time like this. And when it's really overwhelming, sometimes we just don't know what to do. It's like, I don't even know what to do next. And if you're there, that's okay. Just do the thing that's right in front of you. I was talking to Christine, and she said that she came down the stairs yesterday morning and Moses was making breakfast for their family. Christine's our associate pastor. And she's like, "Oh, all these things are happening." And he said, "I'm making breakfast right now. That's the one thing I can do. I'm just going to focus on this." Like, sometimes you just got to step forward and do the thing that's in front of you that's next. Or maybe you're scared or you're anxious. It's okay. It's okay to feel that way. You can find it, you can name it, and you can release it to enter into the moment now. Or maybe you're overwhelmed. That's okay. Take a deep breath, breathe, and just take things one thing at a time. This isn't going to last. This isn't going to have the final say. And I believe we've gone through kind of the initial transition into this new crisis that we're in. And oftentimes when you enter into a new transition like that, it's like a ramped up, almost frantic pace of trying to get everything in order to enter into this thing. And it's almost like a sprint. But I think that like the next 2 to 4 weeks is probably going to be really critical in terms of being a people that are able to care for each other and being able to meet the needs of each other, both in the church and in the community around us. And it's actually going to require us to be like healthy, centered people to be able to respond. Like, we, as a community, as a city, as a church, we need all of us to be centered and healthy and full and connected to the Spirit of the living God. Like, you can do this. And so I just want to encourage you, you got it. Keep going. This isn't going to last. We're in this together, and you can do it. We can do this together. God is in this with us. It's been hard, but let's step into this with a renewed sense of energy together, church. I think God is leading us into a sweet, different kind of connection space to Him and to each other. And so that's where we're at. That's just like a reminder. So don't stop the practices that we've been doing. But this week, what I want to talk about is being present to each other. We've talked about being present to ourselves. We've talked about being present to God. But I want to talk about being present actually to each other, just as people, both in our families, in our church, and in the community around us. And I don't know about you, but I've had a hard time with that this past week and a half. I've had a hard time. It feels like since the original announcements were coming out a week ago, Wednesday, Thursday, things just ramped up and our entire staff has just been working nonstop around the clock for like 10 days straight, just grinding, trying to transition our church into this new space and figure out technology and getting the right equipment and preparing for each step. And as we got to that step, it's like everything changed again and it's constant revision and change in what we're doing and how we're doing it. I was trying to figure out how to live stream here in the house and we couldn't do the office anymore and the camera wouldn't work. And I was sitting over here at my dining room table a couple of nights ago late and I like found the cable that made it work. I actually had someone make me a cable that would make this camera work right now. And when I got it to work, I was so pumped and I was testing it that I didn't realize we went into this live stream and I'm like shooting sideways live on the internet, Jen doing dishes with Carter and the boys start screaming and yelling and I'm like, guys, we're on the internet! And I'm trying to turn it off and just like, why are we on the internet? And like that was on there all night long. I didn't realize it. I think only a handful of people saw it and I was all, it's like there's this chaos, man. Everybody's going through sort of hilarious and not so hilarious chaos, there's constant change. I feel like I can't get away from my phone or my computer, which keeps me from connecting with the very people that are right in front of me. And we got a chance to take a day off yesterday, the whole staff, and just rest and have a Sabbath. And man, I felt it slow down as a family as we were able to reconnect and just connect with where we're at and what's going on. And like something happened where I realized I've been trying to control this thing through managing the transition and change in the church, and I'm recognizing that I actually can't. I recognize that I was trying to be present to our community to lead it through this transition, but in doing so, it actually left me unable to be connected to the people that were right in front of me. I was at the dinner table, and Jen's like, just put the phone in the other room as we're trying to answer things. So there was one evening we were trying to do like a family workout together and drug these weights out into the front yard and we were trying to work out and this neighbor who I'd never met came over and he was all pumped to have a conversation, but I was so stressed out. I was like, I will do this workout. And the guy's standing there trying to talk to me and I'm just like grabbing these weights with the kids and like hardly talking to him and acknowledging him. And I just felt like an idiot as I was trying to just like, this is my time. I need to manage my stress. And it's kind of hilarious that I'm missing the very thing. I just had this realization as we slowed down and recognized I'm not in control. I can only do what's right in front of me. And I was hustling like it was this big sprint and I'm realizing that, man, we're in this for an indefinite amount of time. It's more of a marathon and there's gotta be a new rhythm and way of life that we're recognizing and entering into and applying a whole lot of grace to in this unknown season so that we can be present and not just to myself and not just to God, but to actual other people, not just devices, but to actual other people that are right before us. I'm trying to care for a community and then realizing that I'm missing the people that are right in front of me. It says in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Man, when we're able to be present to ourselves in the presence of God, and we're able to connect with the Spirit of the living God, it actually makes us a people that are poised to connect with others and be present to others in a really profound way. To spur one another on, encourage one another, don't give up meeting together, encourage each other, spur each other on, be present. Being present to yourself isn't just about becoming some kind of like removed, distant, mystic monk who's pulled away from society. It's actually about being shaped to interact with others in the most profound, deep sort of ways, to recognize what God's doing in others and in situations and step into that space. It's so easy in times like these to actually just get completely caught up in our own heads, in our own minds, in our own anxiety, in our own fears, in our own stuff, our own stories, in our own isolation, our own general sense of like being overwhelmed. But guys, let's lift our heads. and recognize the people that are right before us. I mean, everything that we've ever actually wanted is already right in front of you if you just have the eyes to see it. How are your kids doing? How's your spouse doing? How are your roommates doing? How's your family doing? How are your friends doing? How are your neighbors doing? Do you know? Are we asking? Are we connecting? Are we slowing down? Our community groups has this text thread going that has actually been a great source of life for me, because it's a lot of humor, but a lot of just like checking in and encouraging and supporting each other. And there's something about being connected to others that brings a great sense of life. Don't give up meeting together. Continue to encourage each other. Continue to spur each other on towards love and good deeds as you see the day approaching. And now that we can't actually gather in a space, it takes that much more intentionality, that much more focus to do something like this. In the New Testament, there's this word in Greek, it's allelon, which means just one another is how it would translate into English. And it's used 100 times in the New Testament. It's used 59 times as a command, like to be a part of the people of God, to be one who follows Jesus, to live a resurrection life. You cannot do alone. It's something that must be done together. 59 commands for what this way of life as a resurrection people looks like together. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Forgive one another. Serve one another. Seek good for one another. Love one another. I mean, this is our way. This is our calling. This is who we are as a people. And this is the fastest way to get out of your own head and release your own anxieties, is to look up and care about others that are around you and truly enter in. It's what brings the joy. It's what brings the release. It's what brings the connection in really, really profound ways that staying in your own head never, ever can and never, ever will. And I think it's going to take a lot more intentionality in this season. And so I just put the question out, like, how? Well, then how do we do that? Well, I think it starts with our own home, and it starts with our own household. Whoever's in there, maybe it's your roommates. Maybe it's just the people that are closest to you. Maybe it's your family. If you're living alone, maybe it's the neighbors that are closest to you around, or the friends that you're most connected with. But oftentimes it means putting the phone down. And wherever Jen's watching this, she's probably going like, oh, we'll see. She's probably suspect. But it means actually putting our phone down and looking each other in the eye. It means listening. It means asking. It means pursuing. Caring, encouraging, spurring each other on. Like, don't get annoyed that those closest to you are perhaps getting in the way of whatever tasks you're trying to accomplish as we're all stuck in one space together. Don't see them as something that's in the way, but see them as the greatest gift. They aren't in the way, they are the thing. Recognize that and lean into it, and don't miss the moment. Don't miss the people that are closest to you. Be present to them. This is a special time that we're trapped together. In Orange County, we live such a fast-paced, crazy, hectic, scheduled lives that this is like one of the only things that could absolutely slam the brakes on and force us to stop and be still. And at first, that's quite disorienting. And then it's a great gift. I think there's going to come a gift out of this that we never saw coming that allows us to connect again as people in ways that we haven't in a very, very long time. So lean in. Be present. I think it's going to change us, and I think it's going to be a good thing. Two is beyond that. Like, what about like the church, or what about your community group? Man, reach out. Texts, calls, like video chatting or Zooming or whatever. Like, however you can connect to them, do it. There's a prayer team in our church that's reaching out and beginning to take lists of people and just call them and check in on them to see how they're doing. I know there's people in my own neighborhood who are part of the community who are just amazing, who came over and helped figure out how this camera works, and people who like that came over and brought some extra food that they had, or people that came over when there was a need and jumped in to help out. And that's just what I could see. And I've heard lots of stories of you guys as a community, of us going out and sort of connecting with each other and caring and meeting each other's needs. I mean, ask each other, what needs do you have? How are you doing? How can we meet those needs? How can we be praying for you? How can we care for you? How are you feeling? How is work going? What do you need? How can I stand with you in it? Even if I can't do anything, how can I just listen? How can we rally to meet each other's needs the best that we can? And how do we ask just really good questions? Sometimes we ask questions that aren't even helpful. Like even just deep connecting questions. Erica Nargizian, at our church, our kids director found this thing called Holste reflection cards, which are really cool. And they just ask really, really, really good questions. Things like, what's the kindest thing a stranger has ever done for you? What is one thing you like to do that sets you up for a great day? What are you grateful for right now? What's your proudest accomplishment? What's one thing that doesn't cost anything, occurs naturally, and always makes you smile? What are your best habits? What are your worst habits? Like, just good questions that provoke deep conversation and connection. Ask them. We're actually going to jump after this in just a couple of seconds. We're going to jump into Zoom and Google Hangouts with our community groups as a part of our gathering, as the experience this morning. And we're going to have you ask a couple of these questions to each other as we're just connecting as a part of our practice. Another thing that we're doing is, because we can't meet face-to-face right now in this season, Christine, Erica, our kids director, myself, some of the elders, we're going to set up Calendly appointments that you would be able to get and get a hold of and sort of sign in through to set up just like phone calls and FaceTimes, just like we would if we were going to set up a coffee or a lunch and meet up together. We just want to make ourselves available as pastors and leaders in the church to connect with you guys and to pray with you and just to catch up. And so you'll be able to see that through a link that'll be available to you through an email that's going to come out as well. So there's the church and the community group, there's the family, but then lastly, even beyond the church, is just our neighborhood and our community around us. We have to get past just us, because we say that we're creating redemptive communities that pour ourselves out for the healing of the world. We say we're creating redemptive communities that are embodying resurrection life for the healing of the world. And the world is bigger than just our church, obviously. How do we get outside of that? And here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to invite you to, and we want everyone to participate in some way. A lot of churches in Costa Mesa have gotten together, and we're doing a 24/7 prayer movement sign up. We're going to include this in the email we're sending as well with a link. And you could jump in, and you could start by caring for our community and neighborhood just by signing up for an hour of prayer. And there's a guide that's attached to it and what you could do and how to pray through that space. But we're actually doing it through like a Zoom link, through like a video. You jump in and be part of this ongoing, unbroken movement of prayer through our city and for our state and for our world and for everything that's happening. So that's one way is through prayer. And the second way is that we're actually rolling out this crisis response team. Christine has been working around the clock on this. And she's essentially divided up our area, Newport and Costa Mesa, into a number of like neighborhoods or like regions. And she's identifying a neighborhood chaplain for each region who will essentially oversee kind of care and connect systems of networking, care, and support and prayer through each neighborhood that are all going to be available on the website. And you may wonder, what does chaplain mean? Chaplains are spiritual caregivers that reach out to anyone that's in need. They traditionally would provide care and support for people that are going through hard times. They often connect people to their faith and then help members of the community step into that story of faith as well. And they connect people to support and to care and to help meet whatever needs that they have. And so our neighborhood chaplains are going to be available as key leaders to mobilize us as a church into loving our neighbors as we love ourselves, like Jesus talks about. And so our neighborhood chaplains are actually going to facilitate systems of care and support in the neighborhoods throughout this part of Orange County, and they're going to help keep us connected. And so as a part of that, I would encourage you just to jump on the website go to the page that has our crisis response team and look up who your neighborhood chaplain is and reach out and connect with them. If there isn't a neighborhood chaplain in your area yet, it's because we haven't identified that person yet. And maybe that person is you. And I would encourage you to reach out and let us know that you're interested in a role like that. And then we can begin a conversation of potentially empowering you to step into that space with us as a church, because this is what we want everyone to do is actually, we're going to give you a letter, like a form letter, that you could print out and you could add your own details to, but it's essentially saying we're a church in this area and a community of people that want to care for whoever we can. And so I would encourage you to add your details, your phone number or your email or both, even your address, and print the letter out and go put it on everybody's like front door or doorstep, just on your street or maybe within a couple of streets around your house, and just make yourself available. And we're essentially saying, like, do you have needs? Or how can I pray for you in this time? Or are you sick and do you need help or care in any way? And then just make yourself available and then reach out to your neighborhood chaplain and let them know what street you put the letter on so they can kind of organize a system of, okay, where are we covered and what part of this grid are we operating in as we're creating a system of care and support. And then as people reach out to you with their needs, and you can connect with your neighborhood chaplain and they can relay it back to us if it's something that we as a church can step into with more resources to help meet those needs. So we're wanting to step up and be the church in simple, but I think really profound ways. Those are some simple steps, just starting from home and then ultimately moving through all the way into our neighborhood and into our communities, that we can continue to be present to each other. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body's not made up of one, but of many. Man, we're one body. We are the body of Christ. How can you play a part in being that body? And I believe, guys, that it's moments like this that truly define who we are as people, that define who we are as a church, that define who we are as a community. I think this is the kind of experience that we're going through together that actually has the power to shape you for the rest of your life. It's moments like these that not only reveal your character and who you are, but actually shape and catalyze that in new ways. I encourage you, continue to enter into the presence of God and allow that to catalyze you into a person that is able to be present to others, that is able to give yourself for the healing of the world in this community, because I believe that's what this time is going to require. And my prayer and my hope is that when we look back, if we live this way, that we're going to recognize, man, this is the time that absolutely shaped and catalyzed us like no other as people and as a church. And it's the moment that actually puts on display what this love of God is that we absolutely just declare with all of our beings and at the top of our lungs. And so, like Mordecai said to Esther in chapter 4, may God bear you up and renew your strength, because you were made for such a time as this. And again, 2 Timothy 1:7, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. And so our experience this week is we're going to break up into our community groups right now. Your leader should have already sent you a link. You should already be connected. Jump into your community groups, and we're going to have a space of reflection where we actually practice being present to each other and then talk about what it's going to look like to be present to those around us and outside of our homes and our neighborhoods. If you're not in a community group currently, in the description of this YouTube channel, you can either highlight that link and put it in your browser and it'll take you to a group, or you can click on it if it's active, and then that'll take you to a group where everyone who's not in a group can meet up together, and Christine is leading that group, and then we're going to be able to break it off into several other groups so we can all just see each other face-to-face and interact together. Love you, Redemption. It's so good to be together this morning. Absolutely love being a part of this community. We're standing together. We're standing with you, and we'll see you soon.